Welcome to the GVA Legal Podcast. My name is Jean Kambuni and I am your host. On November 20th, the world celebrated World Children's Day. Children's Day is celebrated on 20th November each year to promote international togetherness and awareness among children worldwide and to improve children's welfare. But why 20th November, not any other day? Well, it's because on November 20th, in 1959, the UN General Assembly adopted the Declaration of the Rights of the Child. It's also the day a couple of years later, in 1989, when the UN General Assembly adopted the Convention on the Rights of the Child. So in honor of that day, on this episode, we want to talk about an issue that parents and children worldwide are grappling with. And this is the issue of child online protection. Our guest in studio today is Mr. Robin Busolo. He is the Manager, Regulatory Affairs at the Communications Authority of Kenya. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you.
And I want us to go right into it. Tell us a little bit about CA. Who is CA and what is their mandate?
Thank you, Jean. CA is Communications Authority. It's a parastatal and co-leader statutory body established under the Kenya Information and Communications Act. Its principal mandate is basically to license and regulate the ICT sector. Its mandate basically cuts across several subsectors: radio communications, postal and courier services, broadcasting, competition, universal service, consumer protection. Why we are keen on child online protection is because we feel that the consumers of communication services, parents and now kids, the children at large, are consumers of internet, and we really need to protect them. That's why the topical issue today on child online protection is really key. So Communications Authority, in the course of discharging their mandate to ensure that consumers of communication services are safe, now we focus on children and all other citizens in terms of protecting their rights when they're on the online space.
So let's now dial down to this online space and specifically to child online protection. What does CA define child online protection as?
CA actually does not define what child online protection is. CA derives the definition of what child online protection is from an international body called International Telecommunications Union. They've come up with a mandate on how to protect children online. So basically, child online protection is a set of measures and practices that are basically targeting how to ensure that children or kids who are on the online space are really safe. They're not targets of crime, or they do not become victims of online malpractices. So there are a set of mechanisms in terms of awareness, research, capacity building, and basically to enlighten the parents, because the kids are vulnerable. So there are a set of mechanisms, measures, and practices that are employed to basically tell the parents that when the children are in this space, when they're accessing their mobile phones, when they're accessing the TV, or they're playing games on the online space, these are the key issues that they're supposed to highlight or be focused on.
And you've spoken about the vulnerability of children. I have to agree that once a child enters onto the online space, they're vulnerable in the same way that they are in the physical space. Once they enter into the virtual space, they're vulnerable to several crimes.
Yeah.
What types of crimes or things are or issues are children vulnerable to once they put themselves out there on the online space?
Top of mind is what we call cyberbullying, where children can fall victim to some acts and practices by these perpetrators of crime. So because they realize that children are vulnerable, so there's a crime called cyberbullying, where children are identified and they're basically involved in some criminal activities. So there's cyberbullying, but then the common one is, like, let's say, child pornography. So that's another crime that online protection measures is targeting. Then there's issue of identity theft as well. So somebody can come online and purport that he or herself is somebody, then try to use the vulnerability or basically leverage on the vulnerability of the children to advance a certain issue which is not the best interest of the children.
So the top of the mind, and I think this one cuts across, whether it could be an adult or even children amongst themselves, cyberbullying.
Yes,
and cyberbullying has implications on the real world. So sometimes a child could be bullied online, and then they then lose the zest or the zeal for life in the real world. Their grades drop.
Yeah.
They, even at the worst case scenario, are subject to depression and even worst case suicide.
Yeah.
Then the next is identity theft. Yeah. The identity of a child can be stolen, or through a child, the identity of their parent, the online identity and the critical information that parent has could be stolen. And another one that you've mentioned is child pornography and the entire spectrum of issues we have there. How exactly does CA work with parents, or what tools are there available to parents and to children themselves, even to institutions that house children, such as schools and universities? What protective measures do we have?
Yeah, first of all, there are laws in place. We have the Children's Act, which actually highlights this particular crimes or criminal activities that are perpetrated online. Beyond the laws, what CA does in the course of discharging their consumer protection mandate, what CA does is that it basically does a lot of capacity building and sensitization. So we had what we call county forums, where we schedule these forums in consultation with the counties. And the key ideas or theme is basically to enlighten the citizens on the issues that affect children. So county forums, we called Kikao Kiku, were a key area where the CA was really instrumental in trying to sensitize the children and the parents on the necessity to ensure that children, whenever they're in the online space, they are really protected. Beyond now the issue of sensitization, CA has what we call a consumer Kenya computer incidents response team. So in the event that there's an issue of child online protection or crime that has been perpetrated on the child, what Kenya Computer Incidents Response Team, what we do is basically, it's a first port of call where crimes that have been committed online. Now, let me juxtapose with another issue. Maybe it's a cyber attack in a banking platform. So what the Kenya Computer Incidents Response Team does is that it's a first port of call. There's a website on CA, so there's a number. So you make a call to the KSAT platform and we initiate investigations. So in case now of child criminal activities, we urge parents, we urge teachers, we urge any interested person that in the event that they come across a scenario where there's a child online crime, make a call to Kenya Computer Incidents Response Team. Once the call is made, then we have mechanisms we have in place to initiate how to respond to that issue until prosecution. Because we have an enforcement team within the CA to do that particular work.
So let me repeat this for our listeners. Yes. So if my child, or if I know a child who's been a victim of identity theft, child pornography, cyberbullying, or solicitation of a minor, so like that's someone asking them to do something or to be engaged in any criminal activity, and I am aware of this fact, or it has happened to me and I am a minor, I can go online to the CA platform and I can lodge a complaint.
Yes.
And I lodge this complaint to the computer incident response team.
KSAT.
And once KSAT receives the response, they'll be able to make an investigation.
Indeed.
So what is the process? Do they get back to me? And how long will it take for
once
this investigation to happen?
Because we have a service charter document where we deliver services to consumers. So within a fortnight of receipt of that particular complaint, that necessary work will have been done, investigations will have been concluded, because we have secondment of law enforcement agencies within that particular office. So once the complaint is raised, investigations are done, a decision is made on the merit or otherwise of that particular complaint, then it's taken to its logical conclusion until prosecution of that particular crime.
So if any of the things have happened, my child or a child that I know or a student that I have in my body, in my institution, has been a victim of any of these cyber crimes, I make the complaint.
Yeah.
I can either do it by phone call or I can do it by an online form that is within your platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once it is received, within a fortnight, within 14 working days, the team would have responded to the preliminary investigation.
Yeah. That is the cybersecurity platform.
Yes.
Generally, we also have a mandate to dispose of computer consumer complaints. So there's another platform, it's called Chukua Hatua. If the listeners if any interested party can go to the CA website, he'll realize that there's a Chukua Hatua platform where you can, in any time, 24/7 platform, make a call, Chukua Hatua, and the complaints team would act on it. So
you're urging us to take action, to Chukua Hatua.
Yeah,
so if we can go, if we go onto your website, we'll be able to get access to and see the link to the Chukua Hatua platform and make a complaint, whether it's a complaint on child online protection, cyberbullying, or a general complaint.
Like a phone call, maybe it can be billing issue on your postpaid platform. Yeah.
I can take that complaint and within 14 working days, that complaint will not only have been received,
it
would have been responded to, and a preliminary investigation to ascertain its veracity, whether it's authentic, would have been done, and a decision will be made whether to continue with it and in which way to continue with it.
Yeah.
Then you've also mentioned that you have other government bodies seconded within your institution that are able to continue the with the complaint. For instance, if it is a criminal matter, then it goes to DCI.
Yeah, DCI.
And if it is a matter that requires prosecution, it goes to DPP.
Yeah.
I like that. You've also told us about the law that governs and mandates child online protection. What practical things can I do if I am a teacher in a classroom and I have students who have access to online services? Nowadays, I think a lot of our homework happens online and on computers, so the access is easier. Or if I'm a parent and I'd like to regulate how my children interact with the web, what can I do? What practical things can we do?
What we usually do is encourage parents to actually take the first step in terms of enlightening or sensitizing the children. So issues such as passwords to the platform is one key area that we always encourage parents to focus on. So regulate the transmission or abuse of passwords. Basically, be a team player. Watch what our kids are doing online. So once you give them access to the passwords, enlighten them on the key areas that they can use when they're surfing the internet. So it's actually a responsibility issue on the parents and teachers. Like in the case of schools, we urge teachers to encourage the students to deal with the issue of abuse of internet space. So regulate the time within which the students are accessing the internet and be keen and actually be practical on what the students are engaging on when they're accessing the internet space. So at the end of the day, what we're trying to encourage, we're trying to say that it's a responsibility issue, and we're encouraging parents and teachers alike to undertake that particular initiative and tell the students or the children that this is a space, you have access to it, there are dangers and insecurities in this space, and please be careful when you're doing 1, 2, 3 on this particular platform. So it actually takes the teachers and the parents to tell the children that there's this platform, and there are vulnerabilities on this side, and they should deal accordingly in terms of what they're watching.
So number one, the first thing that we should realize is that it is an effort that all of us work together. So it works, the parents work together with the teachers who work together with the children.
Yes.
And I think that sometimes we forget, I think because the computers are not the same as the outside world, we forget the basic rules.
Mm-hmm.
And just in the same way I would educate my child and tell them, do not talk to strangers
mm-hmm.
when they're engaging with the physical world, education rests with parents and teachers.
Yes.
So the first port of call is to educate
yes.
young people on the dangers
yeah.
available in the online space.
Indeed.
Just tell them that in the same way that there are strangers and you shouldn't talk to them when you walk out into the world,
mm-hmm.
there are these dangers and you should be aware of them.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the sites that you should not visit.
Yes.
And these are the sites that mm-hmm. you should visit. And mm-hmm. these are the yeah. types of interactions.
Yeah, there are consequences. Yeah.
And these are the consequences that would happen if you are to have certain
yeah.
engagements.
Yeah.
This is the theft that would happen of your identity, your
yeah.
online identity.
Yeah.
This is what would happen if someone were to take your image and put mm. you in a pornographic situation.
Yes.
And these are the types of images that you should not expose yourself to. So
yeah.
education is the first port of call and the first thing
Indeed.
That should be done and is the most
Indeed.
Critical.
Yeah.
Then once the child is in the online space, you've spoken about regulating the amount of time that the children are that they spend online.
Yeah.
So spending it only for perhaps essential services.
Yes,
so
maybe if they're doing their homework and they need to access the internet, nowadays they can do the Google. So just be keen that whatever they're doing on that online space is really relevant to the particular activity that they're doing.
So the next thing is to monitor once
yeah.
the children are online,
yeah.
because I really it's very difficult for us to avoid
yeah,
this
yeah, because
space.
Of work schedules. Yeah.
Well, not only work schedules, but I think we're reaching a place where we have to educate our children on how to work in the online space.
Mm.
That is the future of work
yeah.
for them.
Yeah.
So regulate what they are on
mm.
and monitor what they are on. So
yes.
do not give your children a freehold.
No.
Take a look at what they've been looking at.
Yeah.
See what websites they are visiting and
yeah.
frequenting, and educate them if they're going onto the wrong website.
Indeed.
But then also limit the amount of time that they spend on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
If they must do their homework, keep it for the required period of time that they're going to do
yeah.
their homework.
Yeah.
1 hour, one
yeah.
and a half hours.
Yeah.
Once the task is completed,
yeah.
we get off the online space.
Yeah.
And how would we educate children to recognize, for instance, in situations such as child pornography or solicitation, or even for identity theft, how do you recognize a predator? What kind of red flags are there that someone can look out for? Both from a parent perspective and from a child perspective, because both of us are trying to...
From a child perspective, it's a bit tricky because they really do not know. So from a parent or teacher perspective, you would know, then which comes to the issue of monitoring. So if indeed you've given a scenario of maybe cyberbullying, identity theft, you can enlighten the child on through maybe a movie scenario.
Yes.
That indeed, this is what usually transpires. So again, now focus on negativities of the child of the online space. Because what maybe then interrogate the child. Now I get what you're saying in terms of the red flag. The child should also be keen and come and tell you that indeed he or she has been in this online space and this is what has transpired. There's a case where now it can be cyberbullying and it can really traumatize the children. So when you come back home, when you interrogate the child, he or she should be in a position to basically tell you the experience he or she has had on that online platform. Then you can tell that indeed this and this happened while she was or he was on that online space and come up with a decision. There's no red flag as such. It's really a personal interaction. So if you could tell from your experience that cyberbullying happened or child pornography happened, then from the character arising out of that experience, you could tell that indeed there's something wrong which transpired as a result of he or she being on this online space at this particular time.
So what we're telling our listeners is, if you're a parent or if you're a teacher, one of the main things that you have to do is keep your lines of communication open between you and the children that you interact with, or you monitor, or you parent, or you teach. So that's the first point of call, so that you can recognize if there's any change in pattern of behavior. If you can, you can also find out who they're speaking to. So in the same way that you would find out about your children's friends when they're in school in the regular real world, find out about who their online friends are.
If they're playing games online, then there's a scenario where you recall, there's a, was it in America, some game where at the end of the day, what happened to this child is that he or she committed suicide.
Yes, in fact, I think they were prompted. They had friends, quote unquote, within the game who would then give each other challenges or things that they would do. And the end challenge was to kill yourself. And just finding out who those friends are, what are the things they talk about.
Exactly.
So just understanding the type of people that your children is hanging out with online. Yeah. And as a parent, because as you've rightly said, sometimes children are completely unaware. Yeah. They're very innocent. They come out to the world with looking out for the best in others. So you as a parent and as a teacher, you have that responsibility and you have that filter. You can tell once they inform you about a particular person they're interacting with, the red flags in you as an individual will go off and say, that particular individual does not sound up to scratch.
Yes.
And you can then probe further and protect your child from an incident.
Yeah, you're really spot on that issue.
We've spoken about the Children's Act. What other laws and regulations do we have that regulate child online protection?
I'd alluded to the International Telecommunication Union, which is an international body that governs ICT. Actually, it's a UN specialized body that is mandated to regulate ICTs. So the ITU as an institution is governed by some ITU documents. There's an ITU constitution and regulatory instruments. That's at the international level. Locally, we have now, beyond the Children's Act, we have the Computer and Misuse and Cybercrimes Act, which highlights some key areas that affect consumers of ICTs, but it's specifically talks to children. So there are offenses on child pornography, which have been specifically spelled out in the Computer Misuse and Cybercrimes Act. Then there's the Kenya Information and Communications Act, which again stipulates some areas that deal with protection of consumers generally. But now the focus, because consumers, we recognize that children are also consumers of communication services, so we come in to protect the children in the online space. This mandate is derived now from the Kenya Information and Communications Act, and we have consumer protection regulations which flow from the Kenya Information and Communications Act. So three statutes, the Children's Act, Computer Misuse and Cybercrimes Law, Consumer Protection Regulations, and Kenya Information and Communications Act.
Now, aside from the law and the regulations that govern child online protection, in my research, I found out that I think that CA at your premises, your training premises in Afralti, you have a program in which individuals can learn how to be a child online protector. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's a collaboration between the Afralti, Africa Telecommunications Institute and Communications Authority, where basically the focus is capacity building, basically to try and enlighten or sensitize the staff on issues of child online protection. Then, because he has a mandate on stakeholder engagement or capacity building, so we also involved our stakeholders, our licensees and our consumers at large when it comes to areas of consumer protection. Stakeholder engagement issue and capacity building issue.
So if we want, if we're an institution and we deal with children on a regular basis, so this could be anyone, this could be a school, this could be a hospital, this could be any particular individual, even parents, you can come together and you can register for the course, how to be a COP, a child online protector with Afralti and this and CA.
Yeah.
And I think that's an excellent idea because that then gives you then practical tools. It helps you identify how to protect your children in really practical, tangible ways. In conclusion, do we have any other tools like you could recommend or are there any tools that you use on your own when you're dealing with children that would be able to help parents regulate the time that their children spend online?
This is really a nascent area, I hear you. What we've done, we are really focused on trying to ensure that parents and teachers alike are actively involved in protection of children online. So what we've done as a regulator in consultation with International Telecommunication Union is what we've done. We're at a stage where we're trying to develop a national strategy and policy on protection of children online. It's work in progress. So once this particular exercise is concluded, what we anticipate is that at the end of the day, we'll have a national policy on child online protection. We anticipate that flowing from that national policy on critical pertinent issues on child online protection, we'll have a regulatory framework. So we are focused on developing a national strategy and policy on child online protection. And the anticipation is that at the end of the day, Once the policy is ratified at national level, we'll have a regulatory framework. So we anticipate that we could engage the parliamentarians in the new administration to come up with a law and eventually some regulations on how to basically protect children on the online space beyond what we have now as the children's. In fact, we have a children's law, which is Children's Act 2022. So we are trying to do this as complementary work to the Children's Act.
And I hear what you're saying. In fact, I think the word you've used is very, very apt. This is a very nascent area.
Yeah.
Child online protection is not something that was anticipated or thought of when the primary legislation was written about children.
Yeah, yeah.
This online space is a new thing, and by new, we mean 20 years,
yeah,
but it's new to us, and even just to having children interact with it is new. And I can give you an illustration. I think a couple of weeks ago, there was a online furore over a prime brand, Balenciaga, the brand, had put on photos online where they had taken children and they'd taken photos of them that then were flagged as being a hint towards child pornography. And they then had to take down those photos and are renegotiating a lot of their contracts. So I can see how even globally, everyone is trying to figure it out as they go along and realize what is allowable, what is not allowable, what can we do, what can't we do, and really how far can we go in protecting children, especially because once you're on the World Wide Web, I really cannot control how far you could go and what you could see. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Maybe not really focusing on the children. There's another emerging area on the online space, which we call gender-based online sexual exploitation.
Yes.
That's another key area which is emerging at international level and locally. So we're trying, again, in consultations with the International Telecommunication Union to come up with a concept note and basically a policy strategy on how to tackle this emerging issue. It's called gender-based online sexual exploitation. So it's sexual exploitation, which is primarily, and by gender-based, it's targeting now, of course, the female. It can be either way.
It could be either gender.
So it's exploitation on the online platform, and it's primarily focused on a particular gender.
That's really like novel. Before you said it, hadn't even thought about it. And I feel like once you enter into the online space, the crimes that are there keep getting fragmented as they keep getting identified.
Yeah.
As always, the law always follows practice.
Yeah.
And once a crime is identified, the law then plays catch up in trying to regulate it and create penalties for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In conclusion, what my parting shot will be in this space where we are, and in light of the digital economy, I believe we all are aware of the digital economy. The government recently launched the digital master plan. So everything right now is focused on the online space. We do online trade. We do everything on our mobile phones, internet connectivity. The Communications Authority is really key in ensuring connectivity throughout the country. What maybe listeners would wish to appreciate is that, again, there's what we call universal service access. And where there's this fund called the Universal Service Fund, what happens with this fund is that each licensee who provides communication services is supposed to contribute at least 1% of its gross annual revenue to this fund. And the role of this fund basically is to now enable areas which are not connected to be connected. That's what's called universal access. So listeners need to appreciate that there's this fund and there's this critical role on universal access. So as we move towards ensuring connectivity in all parts of the country, online activities will be rampant. And as we protect, as we consume, or we engage in activities online, we need to be alive to the fact that there are some activities or malpractices which will happen online, not only to our kids. The focus here, understand the subject matter is children, but as adults, you also need to appreciate that there are criminal activities which happen on the online space. That's why cybersecurity is also key. And the Communications Authority also has a mandate to ensure that all consumers of the online space are secure. That's why we have the Kenya Consumer, what I had alluded to earlier, the KISAT, Kenya Computer Incident Response Team. Yeah.
And thank you for that parting shot. And just a reminder that even as we increase access and we want to all be connected and ensure that the last mile of people, if I can use that terminology, are able to access the internet and that you can have connectivity everywhere in our country, we also need to be aware of the risks that are posed by that access.
Yeah.
While it's a good thing,
while
it's a good thing that we have access to information, access to trade services, access to communication facilities, access to all of those things, we also need to be aware of the risks. And the risks are risks to our data, risks to our private information, risks to even just our connectivity. If someone were to just get onto a grid and crash it, that is a national security risk. So I like that that recognition that while getting access is a good thing, we need to be aware of the risks. And the risks are there to both adults, institutions, and children.
Indeed.
Thank you so much. That brings us to the end of this episode. I'd like to thank my guest, Mr. Robin Busolo. Thank you so much for educating us on child online protection and on generally the risks that are available to all consumers of communication services. I'm your host, Jean Kambuni. Just to let you know, we are changing the format of our podcast. Going forward, the GVA Legal Podcast will have three segments. Our first segment will look at what has happened. That was being this week in the law. And the second segment will be our usual interview with an in-studio guest. The third segment is a book of the week. In this segment, we will give a review or a summary of a recommended book of the week. Tell us what you think about our new format in the comment section of our social media pages or on email. Our email address is info@gvalawfirm.com. You can also follow Gikera and Badgama Advocates on social media. You can find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as GVA Law Firm. Thank you so much for joining us on the GVA Legal Podcast.